Hey, it's Roland Archer here. I'm the morning host from Shoreline Classics FM in Kincardine, Goderich, and Port Elgin. I'm really happy to be involved with the Seaforth Historical Walking Tour as I lived in the area for a few years, and hey, it's got a great history. Welcome to the Seaforth Historical Walking Tour. Learn more about Seaforth's Heritage Conservation District, heritage homes, and the thriving industries and businesses that have operated out of the community since the mid-1800s. This tour features two routes, the Cardinal Route and the Robert Bell Route. The Cardinal Route will take you from stops 1 through 18, and the Robert Bell Route will take you from stops 19 through stop 34. Known as Guideboard Swamp in the early 1800s, Seaforth became a thriving community after the first train passed through in June of 1858. The railway company officials did not consider putting a station in Seaforth until locals persuaded them by donating the land and building for it. In fact, at the time, the neighboring communities of Egmontville and Harperhay were larger, thriving centers. Seaforth had a post office by December 1859, was incorporated as a village in 1868, and as a town in 1975. In the late 1800s, the salt industry was booming in Seaforth, with three large salt works. In September of 1876, a fire broke out in Mrs. Griffith's candy and grocery store, raging through Main Street and destroying 12 acres of the business section. The town rebounded and Main Street was rebuilt with the brick and block structures which we see today. Seaforth's Main Street has been described by architectural critics as one of the finest late 19th century streetscapes remaining in Ontario and is a designated heritage conservation district. Along this tour, you will see a few of the many designated heritage homes.
Broadfoot Planing Mill, 50 Market Street.
An apartment building is here today, but in the late 1860s, John Broadfoot moved his planing mill business from Harperhay to this location. William T. Box, a cabinet maker from Stratford, joined the business in 1876. By 1878, they had a planing mill and two-store factory. In 1883, Broadfoot and Box Furniture Company was one of the first factories in the area to convert to a coal-burning furnace from a wood-burning one. Less than a decade later, they built a power plant with generator to produce electricity. In 1894, they took over John Porter's furniture business at 36 and 40 Main Street South, where the Seaforth BA office is, to use as their showroom. The Canadian furniture manufacturers bought the company in 1901 and used the factory to build office desks. They expanded the facilities even more and added a dry kiln that extended to High Street. CFM closed in 1931. The factory buildings were left vacant for a decade before the Heskey Flax Company took them over in 1941. After 1953, a few other firms made use of the main building, but none for extended periods. The first seniors' residence was built in Seaforth here, the Roundhouse, at 122 Duke Street. The Roundhouse was built in 1902 and was formerly referred to as the Crystal Palace because of its many large windows. In the early years, it was used as the focal point for the fair, on which was then the fairgrounds. The property that the Roundhouse stands on was transferred by the Seaforth Agricultural Society to the municipality for an arena and community center. The Agricultural Society maintained ownership of the adjacent property and has maintained the building over the past 120 years. This two-story octagonal exhibit hall is one of two remaining in Ontario. The Roundhouse continues to be used annually for the Seaforth Fall Fair, which is one of the oldest fall fairs in the province. Over the past few years, upgrades to the Roundhouse include a new cedar shake roof, a new interior cement floor, and updated inside woodworking. Vinyl siding was installed on the exterior, windows were framed, and a new sign was installed over the door at 87 Main Street North. Built in 1872, this house was one of the earliest brick houses built by John Ament. In early times, farmers built their houses to look like one-story buildings on the outside to avoid being taxed for the two-story building. Former owner Michael Ash shares this story about the house. When we moved in 1988, our dog was very leery of entering the basement. She would stand at the top of the stairs and growl. We have owned a total of three dogs, and each one has had a similar reaction. We could never figure out what the issue was. My wife, Leslie, also had a very uneasy feeling when she was in the basement, but we always put it down to the fact that it's an older basement and it's creepy to start with. In 2017, we had the front porch redone because it was starting to crumble. The men working on removing the old concrete found a surprise when they came across the skeleton of a medium-sized dog embedded in the concrete. I gave the dog a proper burial in one of our gardens, and since that time, our current dog and Leslie no longer have issues with going into the basement. Was the spirit of the dog haunting the house?
Number three,
Queen's Hotel at 4 Goderich Street East. The first hotel to be built at this location was the Albert Edward or the Downey House. It was a frame building that hosted some of the town's first church services.
The building, known as the British Hotel at the time, was lost in the Great Fire of 1876. The Queen's Hotel was built in 1877, consisting of two stories with a mansard roof third story. There was a livery just east of the hotel for horses and carriages. The stairway in the building was very unique as it was a suspended stairwell. At the age of 95, Thomas Stevens, who purchased the property in 1875, was the oldest hotel proprietor in Ontario. The property stayed in the Stevens family until Thomas's death in 1936. Prior to the mid-1950s, Huron County was dry, meaning it was prohibited for businesses to sell alcohol. As a way to get around the liquor laws, a bottle club opened at the Queen's Hotel in the 1940s. Members had a box of booze with their name on it, which was stored at the hotel. When a member wanted a drink, they would get one out of the fridge and replace it with a bottle from the box. Unfortunately, this beautiful heritage building was gutted by fire in 2014. It was vacant and listed for sale at the Northside United Church at 54 Goddard Street West. Known in the early days as the Wesleyan Methodist Church, this beautiful church was built in 1877 with an adjacent manse. It replaced the 1865 36x50 frame church, which had a capacity of 300. This building seats 600. Two spires were moved due to their dilapidated state. Number 5, Maplewood Manor at 13 Church Street. In Georgian style with Italianate influences, this structure was built in 1867 as Seaforth Public School with a symmetrical T plan. It is set on a fieldstone foundation with Flemish bond, buff brick walls. At one time, the building was painted a deep red color and ivy covered the exterior. As the number of students increased over the years, additions were added to the building. When the school opened, there was over 200 pupils. By 1874, there were close to 600 students. When the new Seaforth Public School opened in 1953, this building was repurposed. The property was sold to Seaforth Shoes Limited, then after sitting vacant for some time, it was renovated as a distinctive seniors' residence, Cornish Residence, at 17 Helen Street. The residence was originally built in 1870 on Main Street. Only one of two portions was relocated to the wrought iron fence Helen Street property. The front entrance is crowned by an elliptical fan light and is flanked by side lights. Noteworthy are the two corner bay windows and Victorian grounds. It is a designated number 7, the Carnican House, at 123 James Street. This clapboard frame house was built in 1873 with an asymmetrical floor plan, fine trim details, and stained glass windows is a fanciful example of Victorian cottage architecture. It is one of the most fun and eclectic homes in Seaforth. Number 8, it is a designated villa apartments building at 92 Goddard Street West. Built between 1886 and 1890, the large proportions, asymmetrical layout, slate roof, multiple chimneys, wrought iron work, and coach house to the rear typify late Victorian architecture for the affluent in Huron County. It was named after the Marquess of Lorne, Governor General of Canada from 1878 to 1883. Originally, the main floor of the house had two large formal parlors, a library, dining room, and in the back and in the basement, kitchens and workrooms. A wide grand staircase led to at least three bedrooms and an indoor bathroom with running water, which was a luxury and a rarity at the time. The house was built for Leonard McFall, who was the son of the United Empire Loyalist and principal of the Seaforth Public School in 1875. The home was turned into apartments in the early 1970s and eventually became the home of the Canadian Mental Health Association. First Presbyterian Church at 59 Goddard Street West. This church was built in 1867 from the union of the congregations of Harper, Hay, and Seaforth, each of which were originally established under the United Succession Church of Scotland. An addition was put on in 1904 on the west side to increase the seating capacity to 800. The church manse was built Mansion House and Royal House, 1-3 Main Street. Robert Carmichael bought this property in 1860 and replaced the old McKernan Log Tavern with a frame hotel known as the Carmichael Hotel. In 1869, this frame hotel was replaced by a brick building he called Mansion House. Following the devastating fire of 1876, the present building was built in 1877 with two stories south of it. The livery stable for the hotel was located behind the building where the gas station is today. In 1902, William A. Critch opened a bakery in store number 1. It was named one of the largest bakeries in Western Ontario, in fact the third largest between Toronto and Lake Huron in the 1929 Huron Expositor. The daily output of bread in the 1920s was 1,500 to 1,800 loaves, and on Saturdays, 2,500 loaves. Johnny Critch eventually took over the business from his father and operated it on Main Street until 1978. It was the go-to place for ice cream in downtown Seaforth. The building later became the home of John Kidd Hardware at 15 to 17 Main Street South. In 1878, John Kidd, who operated a hardware business, rebuilt his store following the devastating fire of 1876. Mullett & Jackson's Hardware was operating from this location by 1900. By 1914, J.F. Daly had operated his jewelry store in the former hardware store. Mr. Daly was a jeweler, optician, issuer of marriage licenses, and first Ford car dealer in town. He and a partner purchased a Model N Ford around 1907, which was the first horseless carriage in Seaforth. When Mr. Daly died in the early 1950s, he was the longest-serving Ford dealer in Canada. Starting in the mid-1960s, the building was home to Hildebrandt Paint and Paper, which operated for many years before being taken over by a floral shop, Nifty Corners, 33 Main Street South. This is the first brick store in Seaforth, which was built in 1863. The entrance was originally off of Main Street. The post office was here between 1863 and 1869. A variety of proprietors occupied the street-level store after this, selling such things as dry goods, shoes, and pharmaceuticals. The building was occupied by Charles Aberhart's pharmacy from 1908 to 1938, and by R.R. McKinsey's pharmacy from 1939 to 1966. In the late 1990s, the variety store that had been operating since the 1960s was transformed into a business called Nifty Corners that carried glassware and electronics. The building was converted into a real estate office following the closure of Nifty Corners in the Cardinal Block, 39 to 47 Main Street South. This is the largest building on Main Street and was erected in 1877 by Alexander Cardinal. The building was originally lit by gas and was manufactured on the premises. The upstairs was a site of Cardinal's music and concert hall, which was also a gathering place for community events. The music hall was in use until 1954. The music hall featured mostly local performers and entertainers, but was a popular entertainment venue for the community. There's actually a gap where the top of the stairs meet the floor of the concert hall because of heavy traffic over the years. Community members still talk about the hypnotist that hypnotized a man into playing a violin beautifully, and the man did not know how to play before. The music hall's demise was attributed to the invention of television and people being less interested in live sales home hardware at 69 Main Street South. This building at the corner of Main Street South and Market was constructed in 1869 by Thomas Kidd. He operated a general store in the south storefront, which expanded to the north storefront when William Robertson and Company's Sign of the Circular Saw hardware business vacated the space. George A. Sills operated a hardware business in partnership with William Murdy in the block just north of the Cardinal Block. Their partnership ended in the late 1890s. George A. purchased their current location in 1921 to 1922. The small brick building at the back of the store, which was constructed as an implement warehouse in 1872, was converted into a storage space. The Sills family have a long history of work in the hardware business. It started with Daniel Lloyd Sills, who built a hardware store in Brucefield in 1854. His son, George A. Sills, began clerking for Johnson Brothers Hardware in Seaforth when he was 16 years old. 20 years later, he started his own hardware business with William Murdy. When Murdy moved to Lucknow a few years later, the partnership was dissolved and George A. Sills & Son was formed. In 1968, the Sills joined Home Hardware. In 2018, the fifth generation of the Sills family took over the hardware business in Seaforth. Tracy and her husband Jeff McKee follow her father Jim, grandfather Frank, and great-uncle Dare, her great-grandfather Frank Sr., and her great-great-grandfather George A. They both look forward to serving Seaforth and surrounding areas with friendly and welcoming customer service and products for everyone from many post office, 52 Main Street South. The three-floor red brick building with the central clock tower is Seaforth's post office, built in 1911 to 1913. Prior to 1913, the post office had been located in the James Dixon block between 1863 and 1869, and at 87 Main Street South in the Samuel Dixon block. The first post office in Seaforth opened in December of 1859, however, there is no record of its location. All post office buildings had a caretaker's apartment located on the top floor. Although there was a standard design, individual buildings were tailored to their surroundings. The Seaforth post office was designed to follow the Second Empire design of the Cardinal Hall CIBC building at 44 Main Street South. The Canadian Bank of Commerce, or Royal Canadian Bank as it was known then, relocated to this building when it was constructed in 1905. It cost over $10,000 at the time to build. The bank had been operating from the Dominion block since 1878. This building is a good example of the classical revival style of architecture. The entablature above the three top windows once displayed the William Robertson block, 20 to 22 Main Street South. This building was built in 1877 for William M. Robertson, a hardware merchant. William O. Reed was the manager. Known as the finest warehouse in town, they sold builder's hardware in one store and carriage hardware, wagon and carriage materials, oil, paint, glass, and more in the other store. Robertson and Reed's Sign of the Circular Saw Hardware became Reed and William Hardware in 1884 and still used the Sign of the Circular Saw in their name. Many other businesses operated here over the years, including the Strand, a silent movie theater. Box Furniture relocated to one of the stores in 1945, and by 1955 took over the entire William Robertson block. In 1990, the block and adjoining block to the north was briefly restored to its original design. For history on Box Furniture, 18, please see location St. James 34. Roman Catholic Church at 14 Victoria Street. St. James Roman Catholic Church was built in 1869, with adjacent rectory constructed in 1897. However, the first mass in the area took place almost 30 years earlier south of Egmontville. The first Catholic school in Seaforth opened in 1901, which was staffed by teachers. In 1913, when a large factory was built, the Sisters of St. Joseph took over the education of young Catholics in the Seaforth area. A large school, which is still used today, was built in 1960. In 1983, the Sisters of St. Joseph's convent on Gowan Lock was closed. The front addition to the church was built in 1990. The St. James Roman Catholic Cemetery is located east of Seaford at 4304 Victoria Park, Gowan Lock Street. The land for Victoria Park was donated to the town by Dr. William Gowan Lock in 1875, which was 1 year after Seaforth was officially incorporated. The bandshell was constructed by Ernie Box in 1920, a solid building with tongue and groove clapboard siding. The front wall is actually a series of folding doors. The bandshell, having excellent acoustics, is apparently designed with the same proportions and cove ceiling as the bandshell at the CNE. The performance stage has an extensive history of providing a platform for musicians to share their talents to the community and hosting political rallies in the early years. Resident Bill Brown recalls lively Saturday entertainment on the stage while people did their weekly shopping. The cenotaph, located at the west side of the park, has a distinctive war memorial. In July 1921, the Huron Expositor reported that the Soldiers' Memorial had arrived and was placed on a massive 3-foot-high raised foundation 20, with Union Jack's carved
flower, 27 Crombie Street. A 4-story flour mill was constructed here in 1868 and had a capacity of producing 150 barrels of flour a day. After several changes over the years to increase storage space, they had the capacity to store 1,800 barrels of flour a day by 1909. The building was sold to Top Notch Feeds Limited in 1953. The 85-year-old chimney was demolished in 1963 to make room for a new bulk fertilizer building and a research building that was constructed at the east end of the property. The building is now occupied by Seaforth Elevator and Expediting Incorporated. The former Seaforth flour mill is depicted in a beautiful mural located 151 Main Street South, which was installed by the Seaforth BIA in the summer of 2020. Robert Bell Engine and Thresher Company, 156 Main Street South. Robert Bell and John Finlayson took over the Coleman Foundry and Machine Shop at this location in 1899. In 1903, the Robert Bell Engine and Threshing Company was formed, specializing in threshing machines, which were popular until combines were introduced. The company also made high and low pressure boilers. With no remaining descendants of the Bell family, the plant was sold in 1949 and the company was reorganized as Robert Bell Industries Limited. Boilersmiths Limited commenced the manufacturing of package boilers and associated equipment in 1982. Seaforth Electric Light, Heat and Power Company, 151 Main Street South. Between 1889 and 1894, this was the site of the Seaforth Electric Light, Heat and Power Company, which was operated by the town council. The electric power generated was used only for street and store lighting. In 1914, the powerhouse was converted to the Seaforth Creamery. Over the years, a number of different products were manufactured here, including spreadable dairy products, salad dressings, and mayonnaise. Following the closure of the creamery in 2013, Everspring Farms Incorporated purchased the facility where they sprout more than 30 grains, seeds, and beans, and create finished sprouted ingredients. The Sprouted Mill and Bakery opened in 2022, selling fresh bread, brownies, cookies, pizza dough, dry mixes, and more using the sprouted grains. Beauchart Furniture, 126 Main Street South. One of 7 hotels in the town, Houghton's Hotel and Stables, was located here in 1870. Just south of this hotel was another hotel called the Grip House. In the mid-1880s, part of the property was converted into a roller skating rink. It eventually became the Seaforth Curling and Skating Rink and operated until 1906. Between 1906 and the late 1930s, a shoe factory and eventually a clothing factory operated here. The clothing factory was converted into a furniture factory. John Beauchart & Sons Limited manufactured a wide range of furniture, including cedar chests, dining suites, and bedroom suites, until 1965. The white brick building was repaired and enlarged following a fire in 1945. After being vacant for a number of years, a Canadian Tire store opened in 1974 and served the community until the late 1980s.
In 1999, the Bethel Bible Church, a long-standing local organization, purchased the 24,000-square-foot structure, renovating and opening a new place of worship for Seaforth and area.
The Dick House,
117 Main Street South. This former hotel was built in 1873, and with changes in ownership came changes in the hotel name. It was first known as McCallum's, then Hawkshaw House, Kling's Hotel, and lastly the Dick House. Residents recall an old well and trough between the buildings and the road, which was used as a watering hole for horses. Despite having multiple hotels in Seaforth, residents also recall that there was not enough hot water at the hotels for all the visitors coming off the train, and so they would walk to a laundry and bathhouse downtown. The building was converted into apartments in
the library, 108 Main Street South.
Built in 1913, this is one of many libraries funded by Andrew Carnegie. Much of the administration for the Carnegie Foundation was done by Carnegie's personal assistant, James Bertram. Bertram married Janet Todd Ewing of Seaforth, and upon his death, his remains were sent back to Seaforth. He was buried into the Maitland Bank Cemetery in 1934. This library is in Victorian Palladian style, as seen in the impressive portico. The library at one time included a tennis court located on the side lawn, and its exterior walls were once entirely covered with ivy. Renovations were made in the building in 1984 and again in 1995, modernizing it and adding wheelchair John Gallup Building, the livery, 100 Main Street South. The first livery on the property and carriage storage building was built in 1873. It remained a livery until 1915 when it burned to the ground. After being vacant for over a decade, John Gallup purchased the property in 1928 and built the existing building. John had actually lost his one hand in a cutting box accident and has shifted his focus from farming to this new venture. He ran an implement business, a garage complete with gasoline pumps, a machine shop, and car sales out of it for the next 16 years. Since the closure of John Gallup's shop, this building has accommodated businesses including an electric and welding business, Habkirk Transit, the Huron Expositor, the town's newspaper, municipal offices, Ken Smith Pools, and more recently a professional physiotherapy business, Dominion Block, 90 to 94 Main Street South. Upon completion in 1874, the first tenant in the Dominion Block's north section was the Canadian Bank of Commerce. After the bank moved down the street, a butcher shop operated here between 1905 and 1907. John Beattie moved his grocery dry goods variety store enterprise from across the street to the northmost Dominion Block storefront in 1907. Following its closure in 1935, the building has seen a number of tenants including a telegraph office, Vincent's Farm Equipment, and more recently, the Cotton Harvest Commercial Hotel, 84 Main Street South. This beautiful building was built in 1895 after fire raged the original commercial hotel. The north part of the ground floor of the original hotel was home to the first bank, the Royal Canadian Bank, complete with a vault. The north end of the old hotel and the new commercial hotel was used over the years as a customs office, a telegraph and express office, and a barber shop. In 1874, an overnight stay with supper and breakfast cost a dollar. Single meals were 25 cents, and farmers with two horses paid 35 cents for hay and dinner. The building was converted into apartments
number
in 29, the Town Hall, 72 Main Street South. The former Seaforth Town Hall was built in 1893 and 1894 and is an impressive civic building. It is an integral part of the historical streetscape and is distinguished by its high front tower and gabled front elevation. The building originally housed the fire hall on the main floor, town offices on the second floor, and an auditorium with a stage on the third floor. Back in the 1930s, there was an active badminton club who utilized the third floor. In 1955, a small building was added to the north end to house the police station. The front porch was removed in 1957 when the fire hall was converted to the town clerk's office, council chambers, and PUC office. A replica of the front porch was built in 1989. After amalgamation in 2001, the building was converted to the Municipality of Huron East Municipal Office. The Seaforth and Area Museum, located on the second floor, was opened to the public before closing
number
in 2022.
The Box Residence,
57 High Street. This Queen Anne-style dwelling had a corner turret, wood shingles, exterior paneled doors, decorative garlands over the front bay windows, and decorative finials on the roof. It was built in 1907 and was known as the Walker House in the early days. The owner had a funeral home in Parish of the Holy Spirit, 21 Jarvis Street North. Upon arriving to the Egmontville area in the 1850s, William Cresswell found that there was no organized Anglican congregation. He took it upon himself to organize the Anglicans in the area into an active church group. Reverend Cresswell received his license in 1854 to be the priest of the Anglican congregation of Harperhay and parts adjacent. The congregation met at Knox Hall in Harperhay. Under the leadership of Reverend Cresswell, an enthusiastic group of men began to plan and organize the building of a church, and the site chosen was to be the village of Harperhay. Plans changed with the arrival of a train station in Seaforth, which brought incredible growth to Seaforth and decline to Harperhay. In 1863, St. Thomas Anglican Church was built and was the first permanent place of worship in Seaforth. The church is a fine example of Carpenter's Gothic architecture and religious buildings. The chancel was added in 1872 and the wings in 1878. The Parish of the Holy Spirit was established in 2019 to bring together the three former parishes of St. Thomas Seaforth, St. Paul's Clinton, and the Pletch Residence, 17 to 19 Sparling Street. This home is associated with Ivy Fear, who was involved in the founding of the first telephone system in Seaforth. This house was built in 1895, has curved cast stone window heads, ornamental gables, curved stainless steel window heads in the living room and upper hall, and a keyhole window opening into the Hanson Residence, 23 Sparling Street. Built in 1885, this was a residence of William Gray, a partner in Gray, Young, and Sparling Saltworks. With its mixture of stylish elements, it became a nameless vernacular style of mid-19th century domestic architecture, having a Queen Anne-like circular veranda, an Italianate detour one, formerly Scott Memorial Hospital, 100 James Street. Known as Seaforth's Egg King, D.D. Wilson had this home built in 1883 to 1884. Mr. Wilson started his egg business out of the home on Goddard Street in 1867. At that time, he had one wagon and annual sales of 1,100 barrels of eggs, each containing 70 dozen eggs. He moved his business out of his home and renamed the business Huron Egg Emporium. By 1878, he was buying 9,000 barrels a year and had seven wagons. By 1892, he had grown his business to 20 wagons and 50 employees and was shipping eggs to New York and the British Isles. The Egg Emporium was located across the road from the former Queen's Hotel, where the car dealership is today. In fact, the vats that stored the water-glassed eggs before they were shipped overseas were located where the vehicles are parked. In 1927, the Scott brothers left a bequest of $40,000 to establish a hospital in Seaforth. Wilson's home was purchased and the Scott Memorial Hospital opened in 1929. This hospital served the community until 1964, when the new hospital was built across from Lyons Park. The old hospital was converted
Robert Bell,
into
Detour
nursing.
Number 1, Van Egmond House Museum, 80 Kippen Road.
The Van Egmond House was built in 1846 to 1847 by Constant Louis Van Egmond, who founded the village of Egmondville 2 years prior, and his wife Anne Johnson. Constant was the son of Anthony Van Egmond, who played a key role in opening the Huron Road to Goderich in the early 1830s. It was the first brick home built in Egmondville. There were many outbuildings situated on the property in the early days, including a large and small barn, an outdoor oven, and privies. This beautiful Georgian home remained in the family until 1952. The Van Egmond Foundation purchased the home in 1972 for the purpose of restoring the home and operating it as a museum. The foundation hosts a number of events on the property each year, including their popular Cider Fest. Take a tour of the home while attending one of their events and learn more about the history
Robert
of
Egmond.
Detour Number 2, Royal Canadian Legion Seaforth Branch 156, 123 Main Street South. Prior to the Legion being built here in 1959, there's a large brick building containing four stores. Tenants of those storefronts included a pork packing plant, grocery store, candy shop, millinery shop, a hotel named Victoria Hall, saddlery, among others. The last tenant of the building was Alfred Hill, who was a shoemaker and operated his business from this location until around 1910. The building was vacant for a number of years and was taken down in the early 1920s. Malcolm McKellar purchased the lot in 1921 and built a stable for his horses and express delivery wagon. The lot was then sold to the Royal Canadian Legion in 1945, but the hall was not built until 1959. Since its opening, the Legion Hall has been a community gathering space and the center for much of the social activity in Seaforth.
Hi, I'm Tara Lynn Cronin, the Economic Development Officer for the Municipality of Huron East. Thank you for joining us on the Seaforth Historical Walking Tour. For more information about our trails and tours, please visit huroneast.com/tours.